This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to, I believe we are on episode 9 of the Mother Freaking Real Life podcast. This is your host, Haley Hinkst, and today I have in the studio Heidi Bugbee. Did I even say your last name correctly?
Perfect.
So say hello, Heidi.
Hello.
Heidi, you, I think I was telling you before we started recording, like, I don't even exactly know why you're here. Like, I just wanted you here. And so I say it on every episode that whenever I have someone on, they kind of normally fit into one of three categories, right? They either have had this like tragedy and then they're going to come on and kind of talk about the tragedy and what they've learned from it and how they've maybe overcome or come out on the other side. Or I've had people who are just doing really inspiring things, like a girl that wrote a book or people that are running nonprofit organizations or whatever. And then my third category is, and I think you actually really are the first one in this category, but the third category is, I know they would be super fun and funny, and I'm not totally sure what we would talk about, but like, they're just fun. So we're just going to talk and we'll figure it out as we go.
Love it.
And so you're kind of my first one in that category. And I have a vague idea of what we're going to talk about. But as I tried to make it succinct and kind of like sum it up, like the title of what this will be, I still haven't totally wrapped my brain around that. But I just kind of had this vague idea of what we're going to talk about. And if anyone's listening and thinking about like tuning out because they're like, well, there's not even a point to this episode, there is, because I think what people will for sure gain from you, if nothing else, is super fun ideas of things to do with their children and ways to just simply enjoy and like squeeze the most enjoyment out of childhood. That for sure I know will come in this conversation. So that is for sure a thing, and then maybe other things as well.
Perfect.
But so first of all, let's get to know you. So tell me a few things about yourself, and then I have some specific questions for you.
So I've been married to Chris for 12 years, and we have two boys, Braden and Brant. Braden is 9 and Brant is 8. So we've had a great time raising those two. Other than that, I guess a couple of random things. Most people can't imagine that I don't drink caffeine, but I don't. I just have a lot of energy on my own.
That's actually super, super shocking in and of itself, which y'all will find out why later, but that's a shocker.
And I was telling Haley before this that I really don't like any kind of public speaking. And while this isn't really public speaking because there's no one else here, it still kind of feels like it, right? So,
mm-hmm. Because I have like, you know, millions of listeners
yes, that are tuning in.
Okay. That's a good get to know you. I think it's very, very interesting that you don't drink caffeine, and we might have to dive into that more later.
Yeah.
But I have some specific questions for you that will help us get to know you more. I did not prep you for these, so I hope you're okay with a little bit of spontaneity. If you were going to go to a karaoke bar and sing any song you wanted, do you know what song you would sing?
Probably Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Okay.
Something from the 80s like that. It's just
a good one.
Obnoxious and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would sing Fancy by Reba McEntire.
Nice.
Do you know that song?
That's actually kind of a hard song to sing. That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be good at it, but that's what I would sing. Okay. What about if you could eat one meal for the whole rest of your life, what would you eat?
Probably pizza.
Okay. Any particular?
I always tend to go to pepperoni. I'm pretty boring.
Okay.
But I'd probably eat pizza. I mean, it wouldn't really be good. I wouldn't really love that, but mm-hmm. I would, if I had to do it, that's probably what I'd pick.
Okay. What about this question? If you could choose to spend an evening doing one of the following four things, what would you pick? Would you choose? And obviously there might be other options that sound more desirable, but if you had to pick between these options, what would you pick? Would you choose to stay at home and play a game, visit a relative, watch a movie, or read a book?
That's a tough one. Kind of between two. I'd probably watch a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I watched. I was trying to decide between that or reading a book, okay. But I think I would watch a movie.
But not play a game. You kind of shook your head when I said play a game. Are you not a game girl?
I don't dislike games in the right crowd.
Okay, because you just, I saw on yes. Facebook, because I actually stalked your Facebook page a bit today in preparation for this. You just had some kind of big card yep. night thing that you were a part
yep.
of.
What learned was how to play hearts.
Was this like that a birthday, really fun, party
birthday party
of someone?
Yeah. Okay. There was like 100 people and we learned how to play hearts. And
okay.
It was fun.
Had you played hearts before?
Never, never. So I was horrible at the beginning mm-hmm. and I did finally learn how to play. So that was a big win for the night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I talked about how I'm not entirely sure, like, exactly what you're doing here, but this is the thing about you that I have thought for some time now. And it's why I wanted you here. I don't even know you super duper well. In fact, how do we even know each other?
I was thinking about from First Foundations initially, but then having a lot of mutual friends and just mutual hanging friends, out through them.
Yeah. I guess so. Okay. So I don't know you like super well, but I see you some, but mostly I know you through Facebook. Right? Like that's the main way that I keep tabs on you and what you do and who you are. And when I mean, maybe I have an incorrect view of your life, but when I look, but I don't think I do because as I've like, I really feel like you're like a thing with me. Like you're like a, I don't know if an enigma is the right word, but I'm constantly fascinated by you. And so I'm constantly bringing you up to other people and talking about my fascination and other people echo what I say. And they're like, I know, I don't get it either. It's crazy. It's fascinating. It's whatever. So I think I'm not the only one that feels this way. But when I look at your life from the outside looking in on Facebook, to me, it seems like you and your family literally do all the things, like everything. You go on trips like nobody's business. You do like summer bucket list things. You throw parties, host parties, go to parties. You're like doing all the camps, all the sports, all the games, all the fun stuff. It's just like it is nonstop fun action, but like on a large scale. Like I feel like we do nonstop fun kind of in the summer. Like we're getting a snow cone one day and the next day we're at a pool or whatever. But I feel like you guys, and this is probably an exaggeration. In fact, I know it is, but this is my exaggerated view of you is like, we just hopped off the plane from Europe and now we're hopping on the plane to go to Canada. And then we're going to get home and we're going to drop the kids off. And then Chris and I are going to hop on a plane and go to like, I don't even know. And then we're going to come home and we're going to host like a 50th birthday party. And then when that ends that night, we're going to go on a date night. And then like, that is how it seems to me, but it doesn't seem like a bad thing. Like, it's not like you guys seem like stressed and frazzled and miserable. Right. Like you guys are having fun and enjoying life.
Yeah.
This is the perception I have of you. So first of all, just to ask, where all in the like the last 6 months or like this year, this calendar year, where all have you been? Like what trips have you been on?
So we did just since 2019, I guess, started, we did a trip to, I was trying to get the rest of my 50 states in.
Okay.
So I got all my 50 states in May. So
that
so
you've done with your children?
All 50 states?
Okay. Just
so
you.
I wanted to get all my 50 states in. So I had needed Delaware and Idaho.
Okay.
And it just turned out that Chris had conferences there. So I tagged along to a conference to DC in February. Mm-hmm. And we were gone for about a week and I got to hit Delaware there. So I kind of went with him, but I rented a car and went and did that. DC, Virginia, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and then a little bit of Maryland. And then in March, we did Colorado Springs. We had like a 10-day trip to Colorado Springs for spring break. And that was incredible. We had not been to Colorado Springs specifically. And then for Easter in April, we went to Arkansas and we had not taken the kids to Little Rock or Hot Springs and
okay.
We had a ball. And then in May, my 50th state was Idaho. Mm-hmm. So Chris had a conference in Boise. So I tagged along with that and we brought the kids Memorial Day weekend and we went to Boise for a long 4 or 5 days. Did a little bit of the outskirts of that as well. And then June, we were supposed to take a trip to Cuba in June.
Mm-hmm.
And we, 5 days before we left, Trump shut down Cuba to all American travel.
Okay.
So we had to cancel our trip, unfortunately. And so we already had flights in and out of Jacksonville. So we ended up doing the Southeast Coast beaches.
Mm-hmm. I saw the pictures. Mm-hmm.
And then that, I guess, is all we've done. Yeah, because it's July.
Right.
So yeah, we're leaving again in a couple days.
To go where?
We're going to Hawaii for 2 weeks for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary.
Okay.
So just to spend time with them and the family, all the family's going.
The kids are going.
Kids, yep. There's okay. 11 of us.
And then what else? Do you have other trips planned the rest of this year post-Hawaii?
We get back right before school starts. And I think we talked about doing some kind of a random cruise in the fall, Bermuda or something kind of random, a short cruise. We'll go to probably again, I'll probably tag along with Chris on a couple of things. We'll probably do like a San Diego for spring, for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I don't know about December.
Okay. Okay. So I have a million questions just already just from that. But one, I want to back up for a second about you talking about finishing up your 50 states.
Yes.
And so this is not necessarily a thing with your kids or even with your husband. This is back up prior to even you knowing Chris, like you just personally started on a quest to see all 50 states? Like, when did you start that?
I don't think I realized how much I wanted to do that until a little bit later, honestly, probably until 10 years ago or so, I realized that I wanted to hit all 50 that I'd been to a lot. I wanted to hit the rest. And so I kind of made it a personal quest, but at the same time, the kids got extremely excited about it and they got into it. So they were like, well, could we do 50 before we graduate from high school? So that's kind of been our goal with them. So they've done 36.
Okay.
And they're very excited to kind of finish that last 14. Luckily they have plenty of time.
Right.
But, so that's kind of how it started. And then Chris got into it as well, and he maybe has five or so left. So he's pretty close to finishing up too. But we kind of always do these little challenges. Like the year that we both turned 40, we went and visited 40 cities
throughout
the year. Just things like that. Yes. We just tried to kind of make these memories, right?
Based
on what was going on.
That's the thing about you, I think. I think that's another way, like, as I'm trying to think through, like, what will the title of this podcast be? I think that's another thing, is that you are like a huge memory maker, which is a big thing for me. Like, that's what that's like really important to me too. But you do it way better and way larger and way more extravagantly than I do. But like, I love that. With like the 40 cities for y'all's 40th birthday, like, how do you even come up with these ideas? Did they just kind of strike you? Like,
I think we were turning 40. So I told Chris, hey, look, I really would like to go on a trip every month for the year. So it has to be huge. It could be South Padre,
right?
But something every single month for the year. And it just turned out that during that year we turned 40, Chris had a sabbatical with work for about 6 weeks.
Okay.
So we did six weeks in Europe with our kids.
Okay.
And so we hit a lot of states. I mean, a lot of cities that way. We probably did 20 something that way. And then every month we kind of tacked on something else.
Okay.
So if we went, like, for example, if we were to travel to New England, we wouldn't just go to Boston. We would hit the six states around Massachusetts, right? So we could get a lot more kind of fun things in. So we just kind of try to look at what all can we accomplish in one flight,
right?
Is really kind of the goal. How much can we get in one flight, right? So that's kind of how it turned out. So as we started kind of going through doing our trips every month, I was like, wouldn't it be fun if we just hit 40 cities for our 40th birthdays? So it actually turned out not to be that hard because of the trip to Europe.
Right.
So it was really neat experience.
So I was going to ask this later in the kind of comes later on my list of questions, but I'm just going to ask it because I just thought of it. Is Chris usually equally like, are you kind of the driving force and he's like, sure, I'll do that? Or is he equally like, hey, I have this idea. We should do, you know, whatever, the 40 cities for our 40, like, is he kind of having these ideas and wanting to do this also, or is this initiated by you and he's happy to go along?
Yeah, I think it's more of that. I mean, I think he's definitely excited about doing it. I think the planning of it stresses him out a little more than it does me. Like, he's a little bit more laid back. So we balance each other pretty well. I mean, he kind of keeps me, you know, a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more laid back, and I guess I just kind of want to go do all the adventure all the time.
Right.
And so he kind of
balance each other out.
Exactly. And so I usually do the planning almost all the time when we travel.
Okay.
Except for the sabbatical. He did it because it was his sabbatical and he did a fabulous job with it.
Yes.
But normally I would say that there's probably not a day, and this might seem a little crazy, but not a day that goes by that I'm not looking up something that has to do with travel or an experience in Austin. Whether because it's popped up somehow and I want to explore it more, or because I've always wanted to do it and I want to learn more about it. How much does it cost? When is it? Always trying to see, like, are there cheap trips out there we can take, or weekend getaways, or things like that.
Yeah. And I think that's a great thing that you bring to the table, is that you doing those, but you're like sharing them on Facebook or inviting all of us to do them. And so everyone else is getting to kind of find out about, oh, I never would have probably thought to do that in Austin. And then Heidi suggested it. So of everywhere you've ever been, but of the 50 states you've now been to, what was your favorite state?
Wow, that is a good one. That's a really good one. You know what I was so surprised? I would say the most surprising state that we fell in love with last summer was South Dakota.
Really?
Something that you would never think to go to.
Right.
We did a Midwest road trip last year for 2 weeks. And we went to, I think it was 7 or 8 states that we ended up hitting. But Western South Dakota was unbelievable.
Really?
Mount Rushmore, the Black Hills, all those things that I just didn't even know existed. But I will say, too, that probably favorite-wise, probably Colorado.
Right.
Just because it's cool and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And there's always so much to do, indoor, outdoor, everything. So I'd probably say it's my favorite.
It's awesome that as we're recording this, there's a guy like weed eating right outside the window. So that might get picked up on the mic. Sorry. Yeah, I was going to say, you were mentioning that y'all just kind of, you just capped off your like 50 states with like Delaware and Idaho. That was like pretty recently, right? Like,
right.
That like was, real recently?
Yeah, February and May. I finished in May.
Yeah. So I feel like you posted some pictures of both of those. And again, both of those are places that I would never like, oh, I'm dying to go to Delaware, Idaho. Right. No offense to anyone that lives in those places, but you made them look super fun.
Because like, Idaho was super fun.
I was going to say, with Idaho, the May one, because I feel like that was the more recent one that you're
posting. It was gorgeous.
You had so many like gorgeous things and fun things. And I'm like, that's Idaho?
Yeah.
Like, who would have thought? No one would ever probably plan a trip to Idaho.
And that's probably why I kept it. I mean, it was like my 50th, right? Because I never thought, why would I go to Idaho?
Right. And why would you?
But I love it. I'd go back in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
That's what I like about you. You like pull the fun, like not in a bad way. Like you whatever, find the fun in everything. It was funny because I was with our mutual friend, Hillary on Friday. We went to Bull Creek
and I wanted to come.
I know you wanted to come. And she was telling me that you were considering coming. And I guess you and her together were kind of talking through your day. And you were like seriously considering coming, but you had like 8 things that day. And in the 8 things, you were going to still like stop by Bull Creek for like, just a stop by and then go on to like, I think you'll have like a date night and Summerfest and like all of these things. And I'm like, that's what I'm saying. That's why she's on my podcast Monday. I don't understand how she does so many different things. Do you know what number you are on the Enneagram?
I've never taken it.
Well, me and Hillary have diagnosed you already.
Yeah, that's what she said.
We are pretty sure that you're a 7,
yes.
But now I feel like you have to go home and take it.
I have to take it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I should have taken it before I came so I would know.
You should have. You should have known I would ask you about
yes.
that. So I have all these different questions, but are you kind of like a bucket list kind of girl? Do you plan out like a summer bucket list or like the Christmas season bucket list? Like all these, we're going to do these 20 fun things
I feel like I use the notes section on my iPhone way more than anyone should.
Mm-hmm.
I'm constantly writing stuff down either that I hear about or someone tells me about, or I see somewhere that I want to be sure we do. Especially for the summer, like you said, for the holiday season, I think it kind of all started. So I worked at Dell for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, really in corporate America and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't actually quit until my boys were 3 and 4.
Okay.
And so all that time that I was working, you know, the 50 plus hours a week, I was watching my friends at staying home do these amazing things with their kids.
Right.
And I always wanted to do all the things. I don't think I initially wanted to stay home, but I wanted to do them.
Right.
So on the weekends, I would pack everything we could into the weekends. I mean, mm-hmm. just back to back to back to back. And honestly, that's kind of how I think the kids got trained to do so many things in one day.
Right.
Because we would have to pile it all in on the weekend. And so we loved it and it was fun. And we always knew the weekends would be crazy. And this was before our kids were really in sports and things like that that took up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a list of the things that I want to do. And from then, I think it just kind of grew that I would always keep these lists of whether it be places to travel, whether it be things to do in Austin, like you said, holiday, spring break, you know, summer, whatever. So yeah, definitely bucket list. I mean, I think when I look at like the things that I want my kids, the bucket list for my kids, I mean, like I said, the 50 states for sure. I want to take my kids, you know, to the Olympics before, you know, they're both out of the house, like
right.
those kind of bucket list items, certain, you know, countries that I want to be sure we get to and things mm-hmm. like that with them before they're done.
Right.
So
are you, I don't know you well enough to know, like, are you super organized? So did you sit down prior to summer and like literally list out like, here's all the things we're going to do. Here's the days we're going to do them. The tickets are purchased. Like, are you structured like that? Or do you just kind of like each day of summer be like, which adventure are we going to do today?
I think it's a little bit of both. So we're kind of on a little bit of a crazy schedule just because of swim team. We're super mm-hmm. involved in swim team. We swim on summer league. We also swim on club swimming year round. And so that is a really really big commitment in June. Once that ends, then we're able to kind of slow down our life a little bit. The majority of our travels happen in July and August before school starts. So we're usually around here in June. So usually what I do is I sit down and decide like what camps or VBS and stuff the kids are going to do for the summer, kind of plan those weeks out. This summer, crazily enough, they have something every single week of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just like a 9 to noon thing, they've got an activity just for them in the mornings.
Right.
And then in the afternoons, I know the weeks that are free and then we'll plan our activities those days. So I kind of have a list of stuff to do. And I'm like, hey, look, we've got 5 days this week after VBS. here's what, you know, some options of what we can do. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of both.
Yeah. So this question I don't have written down, but it just popped into my brain just now. Are you the type of mom who, cause you were just saying like that your kids have something every day, even if it's just 9 to noon, I look at you and you might be like a mix of both of these things. Right. I'm about to say, I look at you and I feel like you seem like a mom that just is like embracing every second with your kids. Like you enjoy the heck out of being with them. You want to be with them all the time. You're like, let's have a lot of togetherness. Do you also need and really kind of crave like mom time without you guys? And is that partially why they have something each day so that you can kind of have some time to yourself? Or do you not really desire that?
And it's just like, I definitely do. I think it's good for them. So the boys are just very social. Mm-hmm. And I think them being trapped, I mean, I'm not just going to say we've never had like a day in our pajamas at home, but we don't have a lot of those days.
Yeah.
They, I guess over the years of kind of living this way have like just grown to love, you know, going places and meeting new friends and things like that. So it's exciting for them to go and try a new camp or a new VBS or something every single week.
Right.
And then to see their, you know, their friends that they know and stuff in the afternoons. Mm-hmm. I love the time of myself in the mornings, getting things done or, you know, packing for an upcoming trip or running errands or whatnot, meeting a friend for coffee. I love that. But I think I get a lot of my time alone in the evenings when they're in bed, like mm-hmm. girls' nights out and things right. like that. I love that kind of yeah. stuff. So that is a, you know, and Chris is so good about just being, you know, keeping the kids so I can go and do those kind of things.
Right.
But yeah, I do love squeezing like every ounce of the day out with them while, you know, we're together that like 9 to 5 time frame mm-hmm. as much as we can kind of do because the summer is so short.
I know. And, like, it feels especially short this year. Short. Is it shorter than normal?
Short. I feel like it seems like, we're like so in week short. 7 already. It's mm-hmm. crazy. Mm-hmm. So that I kind of feel like I feel some pressure.
Right.
That sounds weird, but some pressure to kind of all these things I want to do when school's going to start and, you know, that's
right. So that leads me to a question that I was going to ask you. Do you feel like, and maybe you already answered it because you were saying a minute ago that you feel like one reason that you are kind of like all about the like on the go, squeezing out the fun is because you had those years where you were at Dell and couldn't do that. And we're maybe kind of looking at other moms that were and being like, I want to do that. So now you can. So do you feel like that is kind of what motivates the way that you guys do life? Or like, did you maybe have like a super boring childhood? And so you're trying to like, make sure like Mike, like, did y'all just sit at home all the time as a kid? And you're like, we're not doing that now that I have my
own kids. It's so funny that you asked that because we did really, I mean, we were go when we were younger. My dad traveled a decent amount for work. We always tagged along with him if we could. Mm-hmm. I remember our summers were filled with travel and camps and things like that, that I feel like my kids are doing, maybe not as much because it was a different time back
right.
then. But quite a bit. But I think I really got the bug. I mean, really more in college. Mm-hmm. I started kind of doing some different things. Like I worked in the Disney College program. Okay. I went and did a study abroad in Europe one summer, things like that, that kind of just started motivating this drive for, and this excitement and energy around travel. Mm-hmm. But I think as far as like the local activities and the, just cramming in kind of the like entertainment and fun that Austin has to offer, I think a lot of that came from working for all those years.
Right.
And just feeling like I missed out on that time. Mm-hmm. Not that my kids remembered. I mean, they were 3 and 4.
Right.
They probably remember.
They're not like scarred by it or anything
right.
like that.
But right. I think I really wanted to make sure that if I was going to stay home with them, that I made it special and made it count.
Right.
So.
Well, in a minute, I want to transition to like fun stuff just here in Austin yeah. to do, but really quick, cause we were kind of talking about like traveling with kids. Two quick questions I had about that. One, what would you say to people, or maybe like what tips would you have or whatever? I know a lot of people, and even to a certain extent, well, actually, I'm not going to say that's not true of me. My husband and other people kind of sometimes feel like, oh my gosh, traveling with kids, it's like more trouble than it's worth. Like it's so much work, especially like when they're littler. Yeah. Like, is it even worth it to like shell out the bucks on trips where you're going to have kids that are crying and need to have a bottle and you have to bring all this gear with you? And like, is it even worth it? But it seems like you think it's worth it. And so what would you say to either counter people to think that, or just to give them some like advice of like, here's a way to actually travel with your kids and it not be miserable. Yeah. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you say that because whenever we got married, Chris wanted to have kids pretty soon in the first year or two. And I just kept saying over and over again, my life is going to be over when I have kids. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to be able to travel anymore. I'm never going to be able to do anything. And it kind of has become like a joke because we kind of realized that once we had the kids, we had two options. One, for our life to be over, or two, for it to be amazing. I mean, that was really the only two options that we had.
I like
I think it's over time, you just kind of start. I do firmly believe you have to train your kids for travel.
Right.
I mean, I think you have to start early with them so they can appreciate it. I feel like my boys are... I mean, they're just super stoked about any, they would pick travel or an experience over any other thing that was out there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because of all the years of doing it.
Right.
I think you have to do it in phases. I think you're probably, you know, more than likely most people aren't taking a baby still with a bottle to Europe. Right. But I think over time you kind of, you know, fate goes in phases.
Right.
I think we kind of always laugh too, because everyone says, you know, with kids, it's a trip. It's not a vacation. I hear that all the time.
Right.
And I get it. It is more work. I totally get it. But the reality is, what we laugh about is our kids are just as annoying as at home as they are on a trip.
Right.
So like, at least I'm out seeing new things.
Exactly.
I'm experiencing
something different. Yes.
And they're still going to be annoying and arguing with each other, fighting and wrestling on my hotel bed.
Right.
Like they would at home.
Right.
So, to me, it's worth it for those reasons because, you know, and also people have said things too, like, you always go on so many trips, you know, your husband's work trips, you try to tag along on those. And that just seems so hard to plan. And I'm not interested in taking my kids along when he's not available.
Right.
But for me, I'm kind of like, we've kind of done most of the Austin stuff. Let's go see a new city.
Yeah.
So I don't have, I guess, the anxiety that they do of going somewhere new and being thrown into a scene of myself with them.
Right.
And I know that's a pretty common fear.
Yeah.
A lot of moms. Why would I want to take three kids to Chicago and my kids in my conference? Right.
Right.
So I think you kind of have to get over that fear.
Yeah.
Too.
I think so. I like that. I really love everything you just said in that little segment. That was really good. Before we move off of travel, where is the best place that you've gone? Because you mentioned that you love Colorado, but like, as far as like with your kids, what's the best so far, like family vacation you guys have had that you would tell everybody, take your kids here? This was the best thing that we did.
We've had so many good United States vacations. I mean, amazing U.S. vacations, but nothing, I don't think anything could beat the sabbatical that we did. Because we basically went from Iceland to Russia and everything in between.
That's
and
amazing.
So we had the boys each pick a place, and they were young. They were 5 and 6 when we went, but they each picked a place that was a bucket list item for them.
Okay.
And so Brant had a friend in First Foundations of preschool with him who, was from Russia. And so he was very intrigued by Russia. Mm-hmm. So he had said, hey, can we do Russia? That's my choice. And then Iceland was always something that Braden was very interested in. And so we were like, okay, how can we get from Iceland to Russia? We have 6 weeks. And so just the kind of the way that the crazy thing about that is, the reason I loved it, I think, is because it sounds so daunting, but we did 2 really long cruises that made it not so scary.
Okay.
So we did a lot, some land travel too, but 2 week cruises each that made it so much easier. You know, you're not lugging your stuff to every hotel every night. You're not wondering what the kids are going to eat every single day.
Right.
Those kind of things. And so I think you have to just kind of like take a trip like that seems really daunting and try to just break it down and figure out how to make it not so scary.
Right.
If you do want to try to, you know, and so when we did it, it was like not only a major accomplishment, but I cannot even have imagined how much the boys would have learned during that time.
Oh, I can imagine.
It was almost just overwhelming. And then seeing new places with them that we hadn't been to.
Right.
Like Estonia and Sweden and places like that, Northern Scotland that we hadn't been, that were so incredible.
Right. Okay.
So that's probably not my favorite.
Oh man, I had like a really burning question to ask you as you were saying that. Crud.
I
don't know. Maybe it'll come back to me because now I'm going to switch gears completely. But I had a great question feeding off of what you were saying. I don't know what it was. But here's a question I have. And I will say that of every interview I've ever done on this podcast, I'm the most all over the place right now with you.
That's great. That's
like usually the questions kind of follow some like logical sequence. Yep. And with you, they're just like rapid firing. But I think that's indicative of, I'm just like fascinated by you.
It.
So the questions are just rapid firing. So my question for you is this, because not only do you travel a ton, but like I said in the beginning, you do like a lot of things, like for sure, a ton of fun things. Like anyone listening, let me just tell you, any fun thing that there is, Heidi and her family do it. Events, concerts, parties, travel, they do it all. But it's not just the fun. I feel like you do a lot of things. You work, right? I mean, you work at First Foundations, correct? Okay. I have heard through the grapevine, you're very involved in your like PTO at your school.
Yeah,
are you president or something?
I'm going to be next year.
Okay. So you're president of your PTO. There's probably a lot of other things I'm not even saying that, that like aren't like fun, but that are just like responsibility and things that you handle and do. So I don't understand how you make it all work and slash what are you, some things having to drop. Like there's no way you can keep all these balls in the air. So how do you make it all work and what balls are you choosing to just drop so that you can do all the things that you do?
So I think like, as far as make it all work, and I feel like I get this question a lot, but I think I'm just a high energy person in general, but mm-hmm. I think I don't sleep a lot. I mean, anyone who knows me kind of knows it's kind of a joke. I mean, if you text me at midnight or 1 a.m., I'm probably going to respond to you. And I'm going to be up at 7 when my kids are up taking them to school. So,
and you don't even have caffeine.
Right. No caffeine, which is
crazy. I understand.
It is. It's kind of a little wild, but I've kind of always been that way my whole entire life. So I think that's part of it is just the things that I'm doing, the experiences and stuff like that, they energize me. I think everyone has their thing, right?
Right.
I mean, some people are so, you know, energized by sports or by, you know, reading or running or whatever it is. But for me, it's just these things, and making these memories and photography and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm willing to give up sleep, for example, to be able to plan those type of things.
Right.
As far as, you know, balls dropping, I mean, my house is not clean.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. There's at least a ball that drops. Something that drops.
I clean it, you know, when I can, but I'm definitely not the mom that every Saturday morning is cleaning my house mm-hmm. by any means. And I'm not as good as I should be, you know, with my kids doing chores and things like that. So I'm definitely dropping those kind of balls. But I just think you like prioritize what's important to you. And I think we always decided in the very beginning that being like very involved with the, whether it be with the boys' lives or Chris and I with our dates or whatever it is, we're going to just give it our all.
Yeah.
And so I think the stuff that falls to the wayside is the stuff like the house, right? If I had to choose between doing my laundry or going on a girl's night, I'm never going to choose laundry.
Right.
I don't care how busy or how tired I am. I'm not choosing laundry.
Right.
So those kind of things, mm-hmm. I think that's probably what, you know, is dropping.
Right. But really it's not, because I worded it as dropping a ball, but really you're not dropping the ball because you've kind of consciously decided like these are the things that we're going to focus on. And this is what's important to us. This is what matters. And then if the rest happens, great. But if not, that's fine too.
Right.
So you're not really dropping balls. You've just chosen like, this is going to be our focus.
Yeah. I'm okay if those kind of things don't necessarily happen on a weekly or monthly or whatever basis. It's okay with me.
Okay. Well, here's a question for you. So I look at, like I keep saying, I look at you in your life and it's fascinating to me that you're able to fit all this in, that you have the energy to do all this, that you like, and I hope you realize I'm saying this as a compliment. I'm not like you're a crazy weirdo. I'm like, this is amazing. I wish I was like that fun and that full of energy and had the bandwidth to do all the things that you do. So it's for sure a compliment, but it's a compliment. And it's also, again, like I said, it's like a mystery. I'm like, gosh, that's just so, I don't feel like I'm that way. So what type of kind of like parenting or lifestyle do you look at? And you're like, man, that's really good. And that is like, so not me. I wish I can understand how they are that way. Is there anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, listening to Hillary's, you know, mm-hmm. she did, our mutual friend Hillary.
Right.
Just talking about being, and you're a lot this way too. I mean, where you guys can just make fun wherever you go. The boys just, you're not helicopter moms. You're, you know, you can be, even if you don't have things all perfectly planned out, it still turns out to be amazingly fun. I'm more like, if I don't plan it out, it might not work out the way I want it to work out. Right.
Right. You're like a little more like controlling kind of maybe.
So not necessarily as much as of a helicopter mom as just, I gotta kind of be in control of all of it and make sure that it's going the way I think in my mind it needs to go. Right.
Right.
So I look at you guys and I admire y'all. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, their kids are doing all these things. And like I said, just going and jumping in Bull Creek for the whole day.
Right.
How amazing. And I probably didn't even know when they woke up that day they were going to go do that.
Right.
So, I mean, that kind of stuff, I'm like, I'm envious of that. Because mm-hmm. in my mind, I'm like, I have to have it all planned out. Mm-hmm. Like, what if we don't get X, Y, and Z in this week? And
right.
So I really tried this summer to be more like that. I mean, we had a VBS plan for 1 week this summer. And I just was like, you know what? I don't want to do it. Why don't I want to do it? Mm-hmm. We're going to just wake up every day. And we're going to do whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that the last week of June and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And we rarely have weeks like that we just kind of get up and go, where do you want to go today? Where do you want to end up?
Right.
But I know you guys are awesome about doing that. So yeah. I look at that. I wish I could, you know, be more like that.
Right.
Well, a little less high strung.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We all have our strengths, I suppose. Is it ever boring at your house? Do you ever have a day that it's just like super boring? You're all just at home and there's like nothing happening and everyone's just kind of like bored, or does that not ever happen?
Occasionally we will. I mean, yesterday was a prime example. We had to pack for the trip. And so we kind of just, the boys were laying around reading and just kind of, you know, relaxing, being creative in different ways. We were home for, I would say, a good, from 1 o'clock on yesterday, mm-hmm. just kind of relaxing and doing that kind of stuff. They were helping us pack and things like that. So, you know, every once in a while we'll do things like that on a lazy Sunday afternoon. I feel like, you know, kind of one of our problems is that our boys are really involved in a lot of activities.
Right.
And so, you know, during the school year, not only do you have school, but you have their activities mm-hmm. after school that start pretty early. And on the weekends we have all of their sports.
Right.
So, you know, it is a luxury to get a day where there would be something not going on that we could do that.
Right.
So I like to use some summer days for that if I can, for sure.
Do you think that, like, have you noticed with your boys, because they are used to such a, you know, adventure and travel and new experiences and all of that, do they have a hard time when that's not happening? And it's just like, we're just home today, boys. Is that like difficult for them? Or is that like a welcome, like, oh, we're just home today?
Yeah. I mean, I think occasionally Brayden is a little bit more of a go-getter than Brant is. Brant would be, you know, fine being home more than we are, but you know, they'll ask me, so what are we doing today? You know? Mm-hmm. And if I tell them, oh, we're just kind of hanging out this morning and stuff, they're fine with that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, they'd be fine with that for a whole week.
Right. But, they can, you know, do a day.
Yeah. A day. They can do that.
Okay.
Just kind of relax, or, hey, you know, we'll be home for a few hours, maybe go swimming later, something like that.
Right.
A little bit more low key. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, switching off of the kind of like, well, I don't even know what we're switching off of, because like I said, I'm all over the place with you. I'm not really sure what we're switching off of, but I would like to talk about just like fun in Austin, because you do travel a lot, but you also have a lot of fun just here. So my many questions for you is, one, what are some of your favorite things to do in Austin with kids? Like, what are you going to be doing the rest of the summer when you're not in Hawaii? Or what have you done so far this summer when you are not out of town? Like, what are your favorite fun things to do in Austin with kids?
We love to do, I mean, in the early summer when it's cooler. So one of the things, I absolutely hate the heat. Mm-hmm. So we try to run from it anytime we can. If we're going to do outdoor stuff, we try to do it in the morning. I feel like we do it the most of our outdoor exploring and things like that in the fall and spring. Mm-hmm. If we're going to do it in the summer, it's going to include water because it's just so dang hot. You know, we love the things like, you know, the Hamilton pools or the, you know, going down to Town Lake and, you know, taking a canoe out, or I'm trying to think of some of the other things that we, you know, like Zilker Park, mm-hmm. going to see the plays there.
Right.
Some of that kind of fun, different stuff, going to the Domain and just hanging out and, you know, trying milkshakes and the new things that are opening. We love to do several things too, just like go to the dollar movies, mm-hmm. In the summer, or, you know, the things like you said, like Bull Creek, those kind of places, exploring, hiking, trying different. We did a thing, whenever I first quit Dell, we did a thing where we wanted to try 30 parks in 30 days. So kind of another one of those kind of fun things. And we went, it was in the spring, so it was a lot.
See, that's a good idea. Like, I'm already jotting that down. Like, why have I not thought of 30 parks in 30 days? That's a good idea.
Park every day. Sometimes we hit two because we couldn't hit the park that day, but we hit so many amazing parks in Austin, and it really forced us to look for all those places. We've mm-hmm. done all the splash, you know, let's do all the splash pads in Austin. Let's do all of the pools. Some of the community pools that you would never go to, right on the east side or something. Let's hit the community pools. We've tried that. So, I mean, I feel like this is probably I guess this is my fifth summer home with the kids since I haven't been working. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, usually we'll have something planned each day, or it's let's go try all the shaved ice, things like that.
You know,
let's knock off lists.
Right. You're like a list girl is what I'm
kind list of, girl. Yeah.
What I'm finding out. Right.
You guys want to go to something totally random, like ice skating today. Mm-hmm. Just those kind of, or like what's free today? Kids skate free in Austin, kids bowl free. What's free today that we can go do this afternoon? I used to, when I first quit, the year that I first quit, which was really fun. It's a little harder now because the kids are older, but I would plan field trips all summer. So for one summer, I planned field trips for a group of friends from our old church, all summer long. And so we would do one every I don't know, we probably did 12 or 15 throughout the summer. One might be to like Amy's Ice Cream. One might be to a local farm, things like that. And there was a group of, you know, 15 to 40 kids that went every time. Mm-hmm. And that was a really neat experience. I mean, that was checking out stuff we would probably never check out.
Right.
But now that our kids are older, some of that stuff doesn't really apply to them anymore. So we've tried stuff like that. But I mean, I do like some of the sites that are out there of Free Fun in Austin and, you know, do 512 and things like that. But I feel like once you start doing a lot of stuff in Austin, you start just either seeing things up on Facebook or Instagram, or, you know, you get emails about them and you can kind of almost start planning things that way too, where you don't necessarily have to rely on those sites all the time.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because I feel like there's a lot of people, me somewhat, but I bet other people too, that are like, that sounds so simple and basic to you, but like, people might be listening and thinking like, well, where does she even find out all these fun things to do? And so you mentioned two websites. You mentioned Do 512 and Free Fun in Austin. But then you've kind of, you said, moved away from those. And now what? How are you finding out about your things? You're saying you're getting emails and like Instagram, like what?
Yeah, I mean, school, I feel like
people on like a dummy level that don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like I'll still go to those if I'm, you know, we have some free time or something on a Saturday, and I'll pull those up and say, well, what's going on in Austin that day? But I feel like the more events we've gone to in Austin, those establishments will email us, right? Mm-hmm. Email me and say, hey, this is going on this weekend.
Right.
Or this is going on August 1st, and I'll jot it down. Am I here August 1st? I'm going to go then.
Yeah.
Or Facebook events will pop up and I'll make a note of those. Maybe we'll check this out if we're free. I feel like that's kind of more the way that I see things now. Or I'll be driving by somewhere and be like, I didn't know that was open. Awesome. Right. I want to be sure that I make a note to go there when it opens, right? Like the Yard Milkshake Bar.
I was
going to
say,
like
you're like there on opening day.
Yeah, opening day. It's at noon. Okay, we're going to get there before noon so we can get in. So I feel like I just am, like I said, constantly jotting down notes of things that are coming up.
Right.
Or friends, are, you know, friends will, you know, send out a note saying, hey, did you guys know this was coming this day? Does anyone want to go? Or a theater performance is here and I know when it is and I'm going to book tickets. But that's, I think that's kind of how we've been doing it more recently in the past year or two.
Yeah.
But I still will go to those websites. They still do email me weekly.
Right.
We do a lot of the Kids Eat Free.
Yes.
Just things like that. You know, ways that you can, I love all the events that are free in Austin. So any ways that we can save money so that we can do more things.
Right.
I'm all about that.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
We mentioned a second ago about the 30 parks in 30 days. I was just curious, what are like one or two of your very favorite parks in Austin?
So we found an awesome park in Terra Vista in Round Rock, Georgetown area.
Shutting this down too.
It's real fun because it has like a 3-story slide. So super, super fun. And it's just kind of their main park in their neighborhood. We were just driving through it one day and saw this amazing park. We also have enjoyed, gosh, I'm trying to think through because this was many years ago. We still go back and hit some of these parks though. We enjoy some of the bigger parks too, like Zilker, where we can play for a while.
Right.
And like I said, now that the boys are getting a little older and Brayden, you know, kind of looks like he's a middle schooler. He's so tall. So, you know, a lot of times if the playground, you know, is 5 to 12 year olds, people are looking at him kind of funny.
Yeah.
But, we like the one, the one on right on Anderson Mill, like Spicewood.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of it right now.
I think maybe I've been there.
It's very shaded.
With my friend Nikki, I think.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't think of that right now, but it's like literally off Route 83 and Anderson McNeil area. And there's a really nice shaded park in there that's pretty big. Okay. Name will come to me soon.
Yes.
And then the Anderson Mill West Park as well is awesome because it's all been redone.
Right. Such I was there not park. Too long ago. Yeah.
Such a fun park. We love. Oh, and then I guess the other thing too, now I'm thinking about it, Old Settlers Park, they have that amazing park.
Like
in the
back new,
of,
it's this, called something.
The zip lining.
Right. Yeah. Starts with a J, I think.
I could not think of the name of that one either.
Yeah.
But it's, I know if what you drive know. Through Old Settlers.
It's in Old Settlers.
It,
yeah.
And it's amazing. Garrett Park is amazing. Mm-hmm. You have to pay to get into that, but if you go on Tuesday nights, it's free.
Okay. There's a little tidbit. Tuesday night, Gary Park is free.
Yep,
Tuesday night?
Yeah,
only Tuesday night? Okay.
Tuesday night.
Do you want to go to the park at night?
Well, it's you know, laid out to where it's splash pad on one side, park and zip lining and stuff on the other. So, you know, with it getting late, like dark later in the summer, it's great to go in after 5 and play for a few hours. Mm-hmm. Tons of picnic tables, really, really very well kept.
Yep.
So, because we did find a couple sketchy parks as well on our journey around Austin.
I bet.
So.
We went to some kind of a sketchy park. Gunnar had a field trip, like the very end of school. He had a field trip at the Thinkery, the museum. Yep. And then after the museum, the plan was to like go to lunch at a park nearby. And I don't even know, I would be lying if I thought of the name of the park, but some park that was kind of nearby. And it was, you know, it was sketchy. Like, I'm not trying to be whatever, but it was legitimately sketchy to where there was like several different police kind of parked around. And then, and who knows, like the kids might be like making crap up, but like a group of kids came running up to us and they were like, there's people selling drugs in this park. And they're like, what? Why did we pick this park for a field trip? This is so bizarre.
We had a couple of those experiences on the east side. Syringes on the ground, things like that.
Yes, that was happening at this park too. It was a very interesting field trip.
Scary
choice, but okay. They learned something new. It was a new experience, I guess. Okay, so I feel like you and Chris do a whole bunch of date nights. That's another thing that you are constantly posting on Facebook is like date nights. You guys do, like I think on 4th of July, right? You do some kind of progressive.
For the first time, we did do a progressive date night. Yes. We do love progressive date nights because it allows us to see more stuff in Austin.
Right.
So we love doing that. We also love doing like how many, you know, parks, I mean, not how many parks, sorry, how many, you know, things can we get in to a date for $20 or less?
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Another list.
The challenges, right? Yes. These challenges. We love that. Uh-huh. So we, but the progressive thing is fun just because you get to see a lot, you know, like, hey, let's do an appetizer here, drinks here. Let's do dinner here. Let's do dessert here. Let's try to go do something fun, like axe throwing or something crazy.
Right.
And then let's go get scooters and ride around downtown.
Right.
Just things like that, that are different and fun. But we have, like I said, we've tried, you know, what nights are having specials and let's see if we can do, how many activities can we do for $20? But I think we try our pastor that married us told us at the very beginning, so we had got married on Cinco de Mayo, and he had told us every month around the 5th of the month, you should try to go on a date if you can. And so we did really well at that at the beginning.
Around the 5th of the month? Why the 5th?
Since that was our anniversary. Right.
Okay, sorry.
Around the 5th. Just try to get one date in a month around the 5th. And that was a great, again, goal to achieve, to strive for and all that. We did that for a while, a few years. And then it kind of, you know, morphed into like not as often and things like that. And now that the kids are older, it's much easier to go, right?
Right.
So we've just been blessed with, you know, our parents don't live in town, but they're close enough to come in. We'll try to do date nights when they're here. We use the Y a lot for everything.
Yeah, like for the free kids child
out, free Fridays. There's a lot of kids night outs, you know, at Tumble Tech and places like that that are really inexpensive where you can still do a date. We do friend swapping a lot where we could just, you know, swap with friends and we put our kids to bed. They come over to our house and stay with the kids and then we go out and vice versa. We, you know, do another night for them. That's been real popular because that's completely free. So more money for your date.
Right. Yep.
So those kind of things. So we definitely love our date nights. And I think if you do things like, if you prepay for kids night out or you sign up for the free Friday at the Y, things like that, there's really not a chance that you're going to say, we're just not going to go anywhere because it's already booked, right?
Right.
The kids are already going somewhere.
Yes.
So usually we try to plan in advance, a month in advance when we're going to go out.
Right. Do you have like a favorite date night spot?
No, because I feel like we don't like to go to more than like the same place twice.
Okay.
That's
you
my
wouldn't.
Big deal.
Of course you don't.
I can't stand chains.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of chains. Mm-hmm. So we're always the
So you're not going to go to Chili's for your date.
If I can tell you. No, not unless everything else is like burnt to the ground.
Right.
And I'm not, but one of the, you know, most fun parts of planning a date is just trying to find the new thing that's open in Austin. Mm-hmm. You know, what new restaurants are out. You can even keep up with all the restaurants in Austin now.
Yes.
It's like New York or LA or something. And so trying to find that or trying to find some kind of creative, I don't know, comedy night or go swimming in Deep Eddie Pool or just
whatever. I haven't brought my kids to do that yet.
Yeah.
But I want to. Have you been to, what is the restaurant that's right by Deep Eddie Pool? I think it's called The Pool.
The pizza place.
I think it's like a burger place. I thought it's called like The Pool.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have not been there, but I've been to.
It's good. It's really good. And the drinks are really good. It's really fun.
Really?
Look at that. I'm introducing to you. I'm introducing you to a fun place. I figured what it's called. I could probably like Google it right now. It's called like The Pool Yard or I don't know, something. It's right by Deep Eddie Pool.
Okay.
And they might have pizza too, but I feel like burgers are kind of like the thing that they're known for, I think. And then they have like really fun drinks.
Yeah.
That are overpriced a bit, but they're fun.
Yeah. Like everything.
Right.
But yeah, we would first, you know, I would first look and see if there was anything creative going on for the date night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, is there a movie like talking about Deep Eddie? Is there a movie night at Deep Eddie tonight? Something like that. And then if not, we'd probably end up, you know, at a brand new restaurant and right. or something like that. Something pretty simple.
I'm like listening to you and I'm also trying to look up the name of this restaurant really quick because I feel like you guys need to go there.
I have to go there.
Yeah. And I'm like kind of feeling cool that I introduced you to something. So I'm determined to remember what this is called. I also was going to jokingly suggest that you have a new list where for date nights, you try like every chain restaurant in Austin. You go from like Chili's to Applebee's to like, I don't even know, IHOP. It's called Pool Burger.
Okay. Yeah. I've got to go.
That's where you guys are going on your next date night.
Yeah. Because we haven't been to Deep Eddy this summer yet.
There you go. That's where you guys are going.
Gotta go.
Yep.
Gotta go.
Perfect. How often do you guys do date nights?
We try to do it once or twice a month at least. I mean, sometimes we get lucky, right? And we've got a special event. Like we've had some really fun special events this year that were just kind of extra fun things. Like we went to the inaugural ball. Mm-hmm. My parents were in town. We went to Hamilton. Like some fun things that have kind of popped up. But we'll try to do just kind of a basic casual date once or twice a month.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This might require some thought and I didn't prep you for this. So if you're stuck, then it's fine. You don't have to answer, but do you feel like you kind of have some maybe like underlying philosophy for parenting that kind of guides? So like, I kind of had some like examples, like, are you kind of like a make the most of every day or enjoy and cherish every moment? Or is there some kind of like phrase or like underlying philosophy that you feel like guides the way that you mother, the way that you parent, the way that you do life?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you have to just wake up and like choose joy and just choose to make the most of that day that you were given. Right. Because mm-hmm. we're definitely not guaranteed another day. So right. How are we going to make this day count? Mm-hmm. How are we going to make it special? It doesn't mean you have to necessarily go somewhere, but how are we going to make it special? I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think the things that you said, definitely our time is short with the boys. We want them to be, I mean, I think one of my biggest goals for them is just to be like these well-rounded individuals when they leave my house.
Right.
So how can I every day pour into them, mm-hmm. To make that happen? Mm-hmm. Or like pour into our marriage or whatever that may be each day. It's definitely not perfect by any means, but I think that's kind of always on the forefront of my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes not in a good way, right? Because I'm too focused on that to miss some things that are happening. Right. So, but I think mainly just, yeah, you know, you're kind of trying to cherish all this time that you have, based on the fact that you're not guaranteed tomorrow.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, you said in the midst of what you were just saying, you said the phrase like choose joy. And so this might be the only like heavy question I ask you this whole time, because it's all just been fun and games until now. But my question for you is like, and again, this is from the outside looking in, but your life to me seems just very full of like joy and happiness and fun and cheer and like nonstop adventure and excitement and all these things. But like, and you don't have to, or you can, it's up to you, but you don't have to get super personal, but you also could. What has been, or has there been something hard and sad and tragic, hard or sad or tragic in y'all's kind of married or family life that has occurred, and whatever it was in the midst of it, were you still able to kind of choose joy and keep having fun and keep being adventuresome? Or have you gotten like cut to the quick where you're like, okay, this is so hard that like fun and joy is on hold for right now?
It's a great question. I think, you know, that's a great question. I think that, I mean, there's just so much negativity out there. Like if you don't choose, you have to literally wake up and choose to be positive, mm-hmm. and choose joy every single day. I mean, right. Life's going to beat you down. So if you just, it's a constant choice every single day, but yes, I mean, I think I can think of two examples of things that I think have kind of beat us down a bit that we had to kind of recover from.
And so actively choose, like, we're going to still be joyful.
Still be joyful in the midst of a trial. Right. Right. So Brant was in the NICU. He was a preemie. He was born at 33 weeks, but he was the size of a 27, 28 weeker,
okay.
because I had in uterine growth restriction. So he wasn't growing after like in my third trimester at all. Mm-hmm. So that was that was my second child. I had an amazing kind of first pregnancy, first birth, like no issues at all. Then this was kind of going along the same trajectory. And all of a sudden we found out that he hadn't been growing. So we had to, I had to have him early. He was 2 pounds, 4 ounces. Mm-hmm. And so it was very trying because we had a toddler. Brayden was only 17 months, trying to manage life with a toddler while having a baby in the NICU for 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that kind of rocked us to the core because it wasn't kind of the picture perfect life was just, it was like, wow, this is a big deal. We were very blessed in the sense that Brant, you know, was just kind of a feeder and a grower and didn't really have any medical issues. But it was a long 5 weeks. It was a long road. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, while you're kind of recovering from childbirth and you're kind of recovering from just the fact of, you know, just not bringing your baby home with you, having, like I said, a young kid at home, our community really rallied around us. And I think that made us joyful again, right? Just seeing all these people that came to help us as we kind of worked through this. But we still tried during that time. You know, we can't live your life in the NICU. So yeah, we still tried during that time to get away and spend time together, find people to keep Brayden so that we could do those kind of things. Mm-hmm. The things that made us, you know, happy and excited again,
right,
while we were going through it. So that was probably one example. The second example would probably be last year, Brant had 2 unexplained seizures out of nowhere. So we're thinking after all kind of the stuff that we've been through with him, that it probably stems from potentially even some tiny scar tissue or something from being a preemie.
Right.
But it's totally unexplained. He's only had 2. He is on anti-seizure medication. He hasn't had any seizures since then, but that rocked our world.
Yeah.
I mean, that was very hard.
Because I'm sure for a time you didn't know why he's having the seizures. Like,
no idea why, if it was going to stop, if medicine was going to help. Mm-hmm. It was a very just scary time, not knowing kind of what we were faced with and what triggered it.
Right.
So sending him to school every day, I remember I would stay home, like right, because we live close to the school, I would stay right by the house all day long for weeks, just in case they call me and he had a seizure. And so that was probably even harder than the NICU. Because, you know, by this point, we're accustomed to our life. We've got older children. He's 7. He's super active and I'm seeing him. I mean, our life was just completely changed by, you know, I remember we had a trip, his second seizure happened and we had a trip to Colorado Springs last year for spring break and we canceled it because we were just so afraid that if he had a seizure on the plane, in the hotel, or we didn't have the right medication to stop it. If it did happen, what do we do? Mm-hmm. So I remember we put a lot of our life on hold for a couple of months. And finally, you know, we were like, this is in God's hands. I mean, what in the world am I going to be able to do to prevent any of this from happening?
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So we're just going to have to live our life and we'll take our preventative medication that we have and we'll do what the doctor says. But everyone was really encouraging us. All the medical staff was like, you guys have got to go live your life. Right.
Yeah.
We're going to pray this medicine works and you've got to live your life. We're going to pray he grows out of it. Never happens again. But you know, you don't know. So those were probably the 2 biggest things where I felt just kind of really down in the dumps. Like, I don't know why this is happening. And you got to really rally, you know,
to still keep choosing joy, basically. Yeah.
Right.
I had a thing that stuck out at me a while ago and I feel like I'm at this point getting a little bit old to keep getting tattoos.
I love it.
But I might. And if I did, this is what I would get. But this, I don't remember if it was like a blog post or actually, I think it was like a portion of like a book I read. But then I went on to write a blog post about it, but it was this poem about, I wish I had it in front of me, but it was about, like one of the lines in the poem was about kissing the joy as it flies.
Yeah.
And so I wish I had it in front of me cause I'm going to get it all wrong and it won't even seem cool at all. But the point of it was about like, anytime you try to cling on to and hold on to some kind of a joy, you ruin it by like clinging on to it. Like if I don't, like, this is so amazing and wonderful. Like therefore I have to have it forever. And if I can't, then I'm going to be sad.
Right.
And then that almost ruins the joy because now you're just clinging to the idea of having it forever. And if you can't, then you feel sad and it takes away from the joy. So this poem talked about like just kissing the joy as it flies, like as it flies by this wonderful thing, this blessing, this joyful thing, like you don't need to be overly consumed with, how long is it here to stay? Will I have it forever? Like, is it just here and then it's going to be gone? And if so, maybe I shouldn't get too attached to it. Like scrap all of that and just like kiss the joy as it flies.
That's great. I love that.
And the poem is awesome. I feel like that sticks with me because I have a really hard time sometimes if there's something I really love or something I'm enjoying. As much as I like it, I instantly think like, oh, but it's going to end.
It can be taken away.
Right. And then even with like a vacation, like I have a really, really bad habit of like probably halfway through a vacation, thinking, oh, it's like halfway over and like almost the fun is sucked because now I'm just focusing on that it's almost over. Because I'm like cling to it and keep it versus just like kissing the joy as it flies.
Like, so, thank the Lord this happened. This is amazing.
Yeah, this is fun right now for however long it lasts. Maybe it lasts 10 minutes, maybe it lasts, you know, 10 days, whatever. It's here right now. So I'm just going to enjoy it right now. And so that's something I really tried to focus on, but I don't.
I love that. It's a really hard thing. It's very hard. It's very hard. And I think when life knocks you down, it's really hard to like pull yourself by your bootstraps and and go again. I mean, it's like I said, it's something you have to choose kind of every day when you wake up. Kind of like have to choose to like love your spouse every day when you wake up. It's the same kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's like an intentional choice.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I have two more completely, like literally the most random questions ever. And then we're going to conclude by me asking some questions I always ask to conclude. The completely random question is, how come every picture you ever take is so spectacular? Oh. Every girl's night, every event we ever have, if Heidi is there, she snaps a picture. And the funny thing about you is you snap it so fast. It's like, there's no thought put into it. You just are like, you snap it, but everyone would agree. You never look better than you look in a Heidi picture. Like, do you have some kind of a secret?
I don't think I have a secret. I think I just love photography. I think I used to always, I was always the girl that carried my like big old SLR camera around everywhere I went, I think up until like a year ago, I stopped carrying that camera around. It was a big joke because everyone's like, Heidi's here with her camera, you know, that sort of thing. Now I just don't know. I have the new iPhone and it's fun to play around with. And sometimes it's kind of fun to play with some of the filters and different things like that. But different angles make everyone look really well.
I think that's the thing about angles.
And they just look really skinny and cute.
You're surprised about that. I'm always going to be the one that's going to be taking the pictures no matter what.
I'm going to make everyone take the photos because I want to have those memories. I want them to
memory making again
for me next year that I'm like, that was such an amazing night. Let's do that again.
Right. You
know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
So.
Okay. My other random question is, as I was telling people like that I'm going to have you on here and I was telling them, like, I just feel like she does so many things and she's so much fun and her bandwidth is so humongous. She can take on so many things. A few people said, yeah. And she also like knows everybody. Like she knows like famous people. And like, so do you know some famous people? Like, do you know some like big deal people?
I don't think I know famous people. I think they probably are laughing because I've been to some events where famous people have been at.
Maybe.
But I don't think they're like my friends or anything.
You don't like famous friends? You're not going to share this podcast with like a famous person?
I mean, who knows? They could be up and coming famous.
Maybe.
Okay. But that is so funny. That's... I think I've always just been like just the extrovert. I mean, you know, I don't know. And Bennett like put myself in different positions where I had to get to know a lot of people. Like in high school, I was president of my high school. So I had to know people, right? I mean, I didn't really have a choice on that. And like, I know next year with the PTA, I'm going to just be, you know, in a position where I'm going to meet a lot of the parents because of the role and because of helping the school and things like that. So I think I just kind of, you know, put myself in those positions. And then, I mean, I just love meeting new people. So I just love it for, you know, going out and people bring people. I love getting to know them and that sort of thing. So learning about their experiences and, and things like that.
You're just like a fun, cool girl.
Well, you're
bottom
very sweet.
Line.
So are you.
Well, thanks. I don't know. I'm not Heidi level, but.
Stop.
Okay. Well, here's how I conclude every episode. This is kind of like your favorite things type of thing. So what are you currently reading? Do you have a book that you're reading and loving that you would recommend to others?
We just started a book club. I just got into book club. That's our third book. So we read last month Before We Were Yours.
Oh, I've read that.
I was really in love with it. I was absolutely
so good. Do you remember who the author is? If we were to say it right now to people that are listening. It's okay. I can look it up. I read it too, but
amazing.
Yes. It was so good. Before We Were Yours.
Yes.
I don't know the author.
Like
it'll take too long to find it. Maybe it will be, or like Lisa Wingate, maybe.
Yes,
is that right?
Sounds right. Okay. Sounds right.
Yes. Before We Were Yours. I read that too. I'm also in a book club.
Yeah.
How does your book club work? Do you guys each, like if you host, then you choose the book? Is that kind of how you guys do it?
We choose the books in advance. So we chose the books for the rest of the year back in, I guess, April or May. And then we, meet at a restaurant patio.
So no one has to host. That's a good idea.
Perfect.
Okay.
So we're starting The Nightingale for this month.
That's a Kristen good Hannah. One. Yeah. You haven't read that?
No,
it's so good. It's better than Before We Were Yours.
Oh, really?
Yes. I would say
amazing.
For sure. Like maybe twice as better.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, and I love Before We Were Yours. Yeah. So that's saying a lot. Okay. What are you watching? Do you have a show that you're like binge watching or you're.
I mean, I always watch, like, for trash TV, I watch The Bachelorette. Okay. Just because it's just so ridiculous.
I used to be obsessed with that. And I just randomly, I don't know why I don't watch it anymore.
The night it comes out, but I'll watch it on, you know, Hulu later or whatever. But Chris and I will occasionally watch, we watch a lot of like kind of political shows, Madam Secretary kind of stuff. Cause he comes from the Washington DC life. So he has a background in that. So we'll watch those kind of things together. Mm-hmm. And I always want to know like, how similar is that to when you were in DC and stuff like that?
Right. What does Chris even do? Why was he in DC? I don't think I know what he does.
So he's the COO of a nonprofit in Austin called the One Star Foundation.
Okay.
It was originally started by the governor's office and he worked in the Bush administration in DC.
Okay.
So he worked in Health and Human Services, the Department of Labor and the White House.
Okay.
Doing faith-based and community initiatives and things like that. So he was up there for about 5 years and then he moved here.
Okay.
So
someone recently asked me, in fact, just this weekend, I hung out with some people that I didn't really know. And one of them asked me, what's my favorite city that I've ever been to? And I've been to a lot of cities, like maybe not as many, for sure not as many as you, but I have been like all over Europe and like, I've been some places and DC is my favorite city.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know why. Place. I love it.
It's a great place.
But this person I was talking to, he works in DC like half of the year.
Okay.
And I think maybe being there as much as he is, maybe he had like a different perspective. He was kind of surprised. It was my favorite city, but it is
different vibe. I think if you live there,
what's your like drink of choice these days? Like what, maybe it's like an alcoholic drink. Maybe it's like a hot tea that you love or like a, I don't know. I would say like a coffee, but you don't drink caffeine.
Yeah.
So like, so what's your drink?
For non-alcoholic, I'm in love with those sparkling ices. I don't know if you've tried those.
No.
They're unbelievable. They're $1 at Target. I mean, they're amazing. I get cherry limeade. It's unbelievable.
They're just called sparkling ice.
Yeah, no calories, no sugar, no anything. Mm-hmm. But it's different than like a LaCroix or something. It has like a very sweet, like yummy taste.
Okay.
Versus a seltzer kind of taste.
Right.
So yeah, you can get them Target, Walmart, anywhere like that.
Are they kind of like clearly Canadian from back in the day? Is it like that?
Did you kind of, I mean, they are. The thing that's interesting about ice is it's colored, but there's no dyes in it. It's all natural. So you're not having like the Red 40, et cetera in it. So those are absolutely fantastic. We drink, the kids love them. Amazing. But for alcoholic, the bourbon slushes at Moonshine. I am so
I have not had that.
I am so in love.
Okay. I'm writing that down too.
I mean, we're going to have to go get one together.
We should. The bourbon slush?
$5 on happy hour.
Really?
So you need to go get happy hour at Moonshine.
Bourbon, that sounds amazing.
Amazing. And you don't have to really love bourbon to love it. I mean, it's almost kind of like a sweet margarita type taste, but it's made with bourbon. So, so fantastic. That's or a frosé at the Grove. I mean,
yes, I've had those. But definitely that I have had, but not the bourbon slush at Moonshine.
Next girl's night.
Okay, perfect. Yes. What is, and you kind of talked a little bit, but what is like an Austin specific place that you would love to rave about right now? Like maybe you either had great service there, maybe you had like a great experience, it's super fun, just something that's like Austin specific that you want to just rave about right now.
I mean, we had a good experience recently at Urban Axes. I'm not sure if you've been there, but we had a really good experience. It was not crowded that night. We got really good service. We got to throw a lot more than, you know, other people, because there wasn't a lot of people there in our group. So we had a lot of fun doing that. Just, you know, very different. I know that's starting to pop up in more places, but for a long time, they didn't have it anywhere else. And so that was a lot of fun.
Were you good at it?
I mean, I've gotten like one close to the bullseye.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
I don't know if I just didn't have enough arm strength or I wasn't throwing it hard enough or something. But I mean, I was a little sore after.
Yeah. I did it too. And I was by no means awesome, but I also was not terrible, which I pegged myself to be terrible because I'm not really athletic or like coordinated or anything. And so I was like, okay, I'll for sure be the worst in this whole group. And I was not the worst. I was like solidly in the middle, which I thought
it was going to be harder than it was. It wasn't as big of a deal as I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But just like, you know, hour tack on to like a night you're out or something like that.
Yep. I loved it too. Okay. Last but not least, what are you listening to? Do you have like a song you're loving, a podcast you're listening to?
I've been trying to listen to podcasts more. I mean, I've been like cleaning the house or doing laundry or whatever, trying to do that or driving around in my car, trying to listen to a variety of different ones that make me laugh, like that are uplifting. Right. But usually I'm listening to music. I mean, yeah. I kind of only listen to like SiriusXM in the car.
Like, what's your favorite song or your favorite genre?
I've been listening to old country lately, which is so funny. Like, Don Williams kind of old country.
Okay.
Like we've been jamming that. The boys are into it now and stuff. They love
it. That's cool.
So we also listen to a lot of Christian music just because of the boys, and they like to go to Christian concerts and all that. So we do listen to a lot of that too. But yeah, lately old country. Okay. All of our road trips have been plugging that in on Pandora.
Nice. So, that's cool. I feel like you are going to achieve the goal that you want to achieve of having well-rounded boys. Like they're seeing some things or listening to old school country music.
Yeah. I think just show them some different stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think that's a wrap.
I love it.
You were lots of fun. Just
Thank
like I knew you would be.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. It was fun. Bye, guys.